Hey, everybody, the Goldie on Ice podcast coming to you from beautiful Tampa, Florida, where we are between games 3 and 4 in the Florida Panthers. Oh, man, what else can you say? It looks like a team that is just workmanlike, on a mission. Nothing seems to faze them. And while the margins have not been huge, I mean, for the most part, most of the games in the series, most of the minutes have been tied. The Panthers have only trailed for 7 minutes and 2 seconds in the first 3 games, and they're better than the Tampa Bay Lightning. The Panthers are quicker. The Panthers have more talent up and down the lineup. Tampa's got their big guys, but it appears to be a drop-off after that. Panthers are quicker, and perhaps the biggest story, the Panthers are winning the special teams battle. And that was the way Tampa Bay, you know, if they're going to win this series, which not over yet until the clock hits 0 in the fourth game, but at 3-0, it certainly looks like a Panther win. That's the way Tampa had to win it. At 5-on-5, the Panthers are the deeper, better team. And Tampa Bay is now 10 of 12, Panthers rather, 10 of 12 on the penalty kill. And remember, one of the goals was with 8 seconds left in game one when they had the goaltender on the bench, a 2-man advantage. So if you look at that, in essence, in the key parts of the games, the Panthers are 10 for 11 on the penalty kill. And the combinations of Reinhardt and Barkov and then Lostarin and Stenlin have just been amazing. And I'll tell you what, an unsung guy in this series, I think, is Kevin Stenlin so far. With Bennett out, he's had a step up, a little bit more minutes for him, third line center. And he has not looked out of place at all in game three. Had to go head-to-head with Nick Paul, you know, a big guy, a strong guy. I think for the most part did very well. And then you look at the depth. I mean, what could you say about Lawrence, Opozo, and Cousins? I mean, they combined for the game-winning goal and 4 points in game number three. That's the stuff championship teams get. You get those guys. You have a couple of tough injuries. You know, Lomberg's a big-time playoff player. He's been out. He's ill. Bennett is now out. Guys have to step in, and guys do, like Lawrence and Opozo, and they produce the way they do. And, you know, this goes back when we talked about this last summer. The Panthers learned a little lesson, I believe, in the Vegas series. You know, Vegas was a little deeper. Vegas was a little tougher, a little bigger. What do the Panthers do? They respond with the depth. You go out, and you get Ekman-Larsson and Kulikov. And Mikkola, who you project to be a top four guy. And I mean, this guy's hit all of his potential. Looks like he just needed an opportunity. Then up front, you bring in Stenlin, who could take the right-handed faceoffs, kill penalties, bigger body. You know, you make the trade, you go get Lawrence. With the money you made back in your pocket on that trade with San Jose, Lawrence for Duclair, you went and signed Evan Rodriguez. So, you know, you just look at this Panther team, and then during the season, they go out and they fortify it by getting Tarasenko and Opozo. They also brought in Gajovic last summer. Useful, again, depth player, has that size. And they certainly seem like they are more equipped for a tough, long playoff run. Now, keep this in mind. If they can get this series done, whether it's Saturday in Game 4, Monday in Game 5, they're going to have probably a bit of a layoff, could be as much as 5 or 6 or 7 days. And remember, late in the regular season, the Panthers' final 4 games were at home, and they were spread out. So now you're talking about a team that, you know, except for the Bennett injury, as of now, and it's week to week with him. So perhaps if they finish this up in the next couple of games, he only misses a few games, and you win those games that he misses. But now you're talking about a team that hasn't left the state of Florida since, what, the first weekend of April. They've been in the state without really any travel for a month and really haven't played many hockey games. You talk about a team that's fresh. You know, you don't want to get ahead of yourself, but it really seems to be breaking pretty well for the Florida Panthers right now. And, you know, getting the big goals. Anton Lundell, what can you say about him? He sets up the game 2 winner in overtime, sets up the first goal for Tkachuk to get the Panthers started in game 3 They've scored first in every game. Brandon Montour looked like himself last year in the postseason in game three. He was terrific with a goal and a couple of points and a plus three. And the job that Forsling and Ekblad did in game three in Tampa, both over 25 minutes, frustrating Nikita Kucherov. Nikita Kucherov was turning pucks over uncharacteristically all over the ice in game three. So the Panthers, incredibly, could really have a changing of the guard here as early as Saturday if they can get the sweep. Remember, Tampa swept them 2 years ago. The Panthers didn't meet the Lightning last year because they lost to Toronto in the first round. The Panthers beat the Maple Leafs. So, you know, a lot of these players feel like they owe, you know, they owe Tampa. I thought the series a few years ago, the first one, the Panthers easily could have won that series. It ended up being six, and I think Tampa just out-goaltended them. I thought that was really the story in that series, and then the sweep, and now the Panthers trying to return the favor. If Tampa doesn't come back and win in a miracle way, down 0-3, it'll be the second straight first-round loss for the Lightning. And this is the way it's designed. This has been a great team and a great, and it's still a great franchise, but it's been a great team for like a decade. You know, you don't just go back 3-4 years with the two cups and then the cup final. You go back before that. I mean, they made the final against Chicago 9 years ago and made a couple of Eastern Conference finals in, what, 17 and 18 before losing to the Penguins and the Capitals, the eventual champs. So they've literally been a Stanley Cup contender, knocking on the door, getting there or winning it for about a decade now. And time catches up. You know, you got to pay players. Those top five guys on Tampa, deservedly so. They all make a lot of money. Some guys have to leave, like Alex Killorn did. Sergachev got hurt. Injuries happen. And, you know, sometimes you just don't have the depth to fill in. I think that's what we're seeing right now with the Tampa Bay Lightning, that the Panthers on the upswing in their window, which is really in its, what, third or fourth year of a championship caliber team, is in its third and fourth year. And Tampa Bay is in their 10th or 11th year. And that's the way it goes. So pretty fascinating to watch. And we're looking forward to game number four. And the nice thing is, you know, there'll be more hockey at Amerant Bank Arena. Against who and when? We don't know. So please subscribe to the podcast, spread the word, share it. We'll continue all playoffs along with Panthers coverage and really appreciate your support. You know, all season long. We'll talk to you again. Thanks. Time to take a moment now to tell you about something very important, the fight against pediatric cancer. And we're doing that through SIDES, the SIDES Foundation. Sydney Lister at age 15 battled Ewing sarcoma and she beat it and she's doing great today. Out of that struggle came SIDES, a foundation formed to fight pediatric cancer, to help fund children's cancer research and help South Florida families with kids fighting the disease. Dave Lister is Sid's dad. He's in charge of SIDES and does so much for those families. So I encourage you to help out. Check out SIDES on Facebook, their Facebook page, SIDES. Everything is on there. Or you can also call this important number, 954-594-5763. That's 954-594-5763. Help us, help Dave Lister, and help everybody fight pediatric cancer and help out families that need it through the SIDES Foundation. Well, I want to tell you about Ken Morris because he's been 33 plus years in the business, a stand-up guy, and recently joined JLL as a senior vice president. Now, JLL is number 185 in the Fortune 500 list, and Ken specializes in industrial properties, warehouse and manufacturer. He handles complex transactions. And the bottom line is, and I know this about him, you're the most important asset. You know, he takes care of his clients. That's what really drives him and keeps him in the business. And he absolutely loves it. He works with Fortune 500 companies and startup companies as well. So any needs that you possibly have, I could tell you this, Ken Morris is the guy. And he's been nice enough to support this podcast right from the beginning. So he's also got a pretty keen eye. Give him a call, 954-240-4400. That's 954-240-4400. 4400 for Ken Morris.